Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 18th episode of the 5-Minute Major podcast of St. Louis. We're only 10 days away from Christmas. It feels absolutely wild. I can't believe it. The weather's been cold, back to warm, back to cold, back to warm, as St. Louis does. Today, we're here to talk about trades around the league and, of course, the Blues. You know, just how we've been doing the last few games. Then I think we're going to mostly talk about breaking down the playoffs if they started today. Fortunately, we're not in it if they started today. Hopefully later on we'll get there, but how are you, Josh?
Happy, I'm good.
Happy Sunday.
Yeah, it's another good day. Glad to talk some hockey, but yeah, some big decisions have to be made these next couple of weeks for the Blues. And some big things going around in the NHL. But I'm excited to talk hockey. We have a lot to talk about. And here we go, folks.
Yeah. Let's start with Rangers. Just hop right into it. They got rid of Trouba, obviously. Are they done? You know, they are out of the wild card spot by a point. Right now, it's the Senators. The Senators and the Lightning in the wild card spots in the East, which is just bonkers to think about. Good for Ottawa, by the way. Good for you guys. 3-game win streak. Brady Tkachuk looks great. What's going on up there? I know a lot of people are thinking it's just wholesale. There's some people thinking even Adam Fox. I'm like, everybody but Igor, get him out and see what happens. It would shake up the NHL. It'd be so cool to see everybody just leave the Rangers and go to a different team. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a fire sale. I think they have to decide what their core is and who they're going to build around. I know Adam Fox's name has been out there, but I think he is one of the core pieces that will be staying. I'm interested to see like the Kadri Millers, the Mika Zibanejads, the Chris Kreiders, these older players per se, what their plan is. And then I'm also interested to see what are we going to do with Bredman? Is Panarin staying? Is he going to get shipped out? I think some teams would love to have him. But also, I think the Rangers have some power here. They have some high-powered, high-valued players that you can either do a retool in about a year or two, or you can tear it down and build a whole brand-new team. I find it hard to believe that Igor would have signed an extension knowing this team was about to go into a rebuild. But that being said, I'm interested to see what that front office does. I'm kind of questioning the leadership there in the Rangers and how they've handled everything. Very similar to Boston and how the poor management decisions have been made. But time will tell. I think the deadline coming up is going to be a fire sale for the Rangers, and I don't see them making a playoff spot. Yeah. Like at this point, they're done.
I agree. I think they're somehow not going to make it. With all the star power they have, they're just not clicking. And we talked about this. Everyone's human. Sometimes people just don't want to play together anymore. And that sounds like what Nashville's dealing with. But they're just...
You know, that disaster.
But disaster. I agree. I think Kreider, Zibanejad, Miller, those are the three you should probably get out and move and get as many picks and prospects as you can, or even NHL-ready players. I mean, I think Zibanejad should get you so much. It's not even funny. Yeah. He's a right-handed beauty center. And then Chris Kreider's like old-school hockey player, like Jake Neighbors, but better. And I think anybody would love to have him for a playoff run, too. Now, Miller's the one that I'm personally interested in for the Blues. Even though he's a left-handed defenseman, we have a gazillion of them. Basically, you trade what you can to get him, if possible, without selling too much. You can put him in place of either PO or Suter when the time comes next year if he doesn't want to re-sign or we're like, you're 40, bud, go retire finally. I think that would be such a sneaky good move, and we've already done it with the Rangers a couple times, so I think that Armstrong's got like some of the most respect out of any GM in the league, and people kind of just listen, and he's like, oh, what about this? And they're probably going to be like, I think you might be onto something, and then we just fleece them.
You know who I want?
We'll see.
Vincent Trocheck.
I think he's a guy they don't want to get rid of.
I know, but if you can find a way, I think He's sitting at 29 games played, and 8 goals, 10 assists, 18 points. He's a minus 5, but pretty good in the faceoff dot, it looks like, and would definitely benefit this team. Yeah, he's sitting at 61.8% in the faceoff dot. So
take it. You don't have to produce points.
No, like at this point,
just put
like,
you at the 3C.
And I think Mike, we've argued about this, and we'll get into this in the Blues realm. And I don't even know argue. We just bicker about it. This team needs another center terribly.
And we've been saying it for like 7 episodes.
Yeah, and we saw that Buchnevich did not work at that spot. And God love him. I love Sonny. St. Louis loves Sonny. But there is not much left in that tank. He's not winning faceoffs for you. And at this point, we need to look to the outside world of what could we get to help with that center life.
You know how I am about players and how like I get really, really stickler-esque about players.
Oh, I know. I sit next to you at home games, so I know.
Sonny is on. I want him out of here so bad. I don't care what anybody says. I love him, but I don't care. He's got to go. He's a liability. He plays hard, but he can't play fast enough. He's so beat down over the years of these knee injuries and stuff. He's got to stop, or we just got to send him to a playoff team and see what happens. Like, I'm over it. Faceoffs are just like crucial, man. One of the most crucial things in the game, and you don't even realize it. If you're not 50% or more, you got to play catch up, even just in the game itself and the flow of the game. So we'll see. I want Keandre Miller. You want Trocheck. I think we should get both of them.
There's multiple players on this team that I think we'd be happy with. Like a Philip Keitel, who could play center for us. A Kaapo Kakko, who is young, fits the picture of the core, and just, I think, needs a change of scenery for the wing. Jimmy Vesey could be solid on your bottom six. There's a lot of guys in this roster that if they do sell, I think if you're the Blues, you have to be calling about.
Yeah, we'll see. Especially with Saad, we'll see. We'll talk about that later, too. Let's go on to Nashville. We mentioned him a little bit. It's a show. I'll bleep that out. It's a crap shoot for them.
It's a dumpster fire for sure.
You're just hoping, like, for something. This is a quote from Andrew Brunette, the head coach. He said, quote, "I could healthy scratch each and every one of them if I wanted to." I think he just doesn't care anymore. He's like a Laviolette situation. Yeah. Like, both of them are just like, whatever, like this was there are GMs doing, you know, but in New York it's a lot different because it's the same team basically. Like, weird situation up there. I don't know what the dynamic is, but Nashville's done. They should be hoping for the first pick in the draft. I think they should just tank it. I mean, honestly, if you just tank it, get a crazy first round pick who could be NHL ready and then throw them out there, maybe you're good next year. Like, you have so many good players still, they're just old.
Yeah.
If they're gonna move players, they have a lot of pieces too, obviously, with the Stammers and the Marchessos and the Shays, but there's a couple of those that I think they shouldn't move, obviously. Guys more like Ryan O'Reilly, Luke Shen, you know, Carrier,
Janskowski,
Those are the guys you need to move and try and get more picks, because you're going to have a first round lottery pick next year. Let's try to get a couple either first rounds or second round picks next year and rebuild as fast as you possibly can. If you're Barry Trotz, I mean, I would trust him. Obviously, he just screwed up with the locker room dynamic this year.
But that's the thing. I don't think he's screwed up. It's
one of those things where it's like, oh, crap, like they're not playing together well.
You overhauled a locker room and like, on paper, the guys you signed should be contributing. Like, there is no reason that Marchessault and Stammer should not be just carrying this team. They're not. And was that because they were playing in great systems in Tampa and Vegas? Maybe. But I find it very hard to believe that Stammer is just completely done. Like, it's hard for me to fathom that he's not able to just find another level. He's found another level every year he's played. And I mean, he's got 16 points in 31 games, but he is a minus 15.
That's not him, bro.
That is not him. Like, what is happening here? And what O'Reilly's even doing this year? Like,
yeah, he came back and played great a couple games ago, but they're just trash. Like, it's hard to watch him.
O'Reilly's a minus 13.
It's just not like him.
That's,
I mean,
throwback Buffalo.
No, it was the last year he was in St. Louis. He did the same thing, and then we traded him, and he played great in Toronto before he signed in Nashville, and then he started playing great there. He's just one of those players. It's weird with him. You want him until you don't want him. And he's, I mean, I want him right now for faceoffs, but right now in Nashville, it's just that situation where maybe you move him to a playoff team. And he,
I mean, you are spot on. So his last year in Buffalo, he was minus 23. His last year with St. Louis, minus 24.
Traded.
Now he's a minus 13. He's getting traded. If the track record is proven, when he is in double-digit minuses, he's moved and he's gone, I think, at this point. And if you're the Blues, if you can get Nashville to eat some of that salary, I find it very hard to believe you would not take him as a third-line center right now.
Well, I mean, the dynamic might be weird here.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Montgomery is going to help him and like the situation with like the players. I mean, he's probably not going to have an A on his chest, obviously not going to have the C on his chest. So we might feel weird about it. But if we're like, hey, bud, we need you to center. Oh, yeah. Holloway and Bolduc, you think he could do that? And he'd probably be like, oh, sure, I'd love to feed them pucks all day long. Like, let's go back to the playoffs and bring, you know, playoffs back to St. Louis. But I don't know. That's just me. I don't know what he's worth at this point. He might be worth, like, a pretty high-round pick and a prospect, and I don't know if Doug's willing to do that for a player that we're renting, basically. Because in the future, we're not going to – I mean, he's 34 years old. There's no point, right? I mean, we just got Cam Fowler, so, but that's a different story. We'll talk about it later. I don't know. We'll see. I think Nashville's just get a lotto pick, move O'Reilly, and we didn't even talk deeply about Luke Shen. Luke Shen is another defenseman. I'm like, yep. Come play with your brother, bro. He's playing first line minutes in Nashville with Brady.
Would change.
Come play second or third line minutes. You don't have to play that hard. Come play second or third line minutes for the Blues with your brother. Like, heck yeah.
And you talk about if you put him in a pairing, not that they, I think you do Broberg and Parayko. You do, Falk and Fowler, and then Suter and Luke Shen. My gosh, I would put. That the end of the game, Suter and Luke Shen, your ribs are going to be broken if they're clearing the net at the end of the game. And I love that idea.
Yeah, they always mention on the broadcast how big of a POS Suter is to play against. And then you meet him outside of the rink and he's like the nicest guy ever. That's like so many hockey players, but he's old school for sure. He cross checks you in the ribs. It's great. Luke Shen is the one I would have over any of them. Yeah, it's just a perfect fit, especially with your brother. Like, I don't even think they've ever played together. And then we'd have the Joseph brothers and the Shen brothers. It'd be great. Let's just bring all the brothers in.
Gretzky
and his brother out of retirement and just Brent and Wayne back. They probably score 50.
I mean,
50
they probably
points
would.
On this team. Yeah, we'll see. I love the Luke Shen idea over anything. Now, as far as Stamkos and Marchessault, I think they stay. I don't think Trotz is on that part of retooling. Like, he just freaking rebuild the whole team. Like, you might as well try and tank a year and see what happens next.
Yeah.
As long as you can draft well. But, yeah, I don't know. The team on paper is good. They're just not playing well together, and it's kind of the same thing like New York.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some trades that did happen. The Avalanche finally listened to so many fans, not even their own, pretty much the entire NHL world that said, your goaltending is trash. They traded Georgiev to the Sharks for Giovanni Smith and Mackenzie Blackwood. Good for them. They kind of made a great trade there.
Yeah,
they got rid of a crappy goalie, got a little bit better goalie who's doing well in San Jose, and they got a solid, depth piece in Smith. They also mentioned that they are like already thinking about extending Blackwood. They're like, this is the guy. And I'm like, the Avalanche are such a weird organization. They had Patrick Waugh for years, and now their like threshold of good and bad is between Georgiev and Blackwood. I don't know how they can't attract a better goaltender. Like, They have all the forward star power in the entire world. Now, you never know with Rantanen next year, the year after, whatever.
Oh, he's contracts. Gone. He's gone.
But you're going from you went from Kemper to Georgiev to Blackwood. I mean, I'd say you're probably in a decline, maybe stagnant now.
Yeah.
Like,
and before you had Philip Grubauer, who honestly was a solid goalie. You just didn't want to pay him.
I don't know. Well, because they pay the best players in the world so much money. They have like three of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
It's like Edmonton, you know. But Skinner's kind of lining up in Edmonton right now, Loki. Anyways, good for them. You know, they're starting to win. They're in the first wild card spot. Second wild card spot, I believe.
The Avalanche are in the first wild card spot
with
36 points.
Okay, so they're a couple points above the line. So they've got to start picking up. But they're tied in third place in the Central with Dallas now with 36 points, which is nuts, I believe. I could be wrong. 38 points.
Yeah, Dallas and Colorado both have 36 points, but so Dallas has the tiebreaker.
Okay, so you're on the threshold of making the three spot and having to play either the Wild, which, sorry, Minnesota, but Colorado in the playoffs is a different beast, bro. Yeah. And then, or your wild card one and you play either, I think you play Vegas.
Yeah.
Which I would think you would rather play Minnesota. So, I mean, any central team in the end of the playoffs or like on the bubble is going to want the three spot because Minnesota in the playoffs is not the same, at least not that we think. We don't know how they're going to be this year because they've been rolling. Good for Colorado. They're better. The LA Kings, Anze Kopitar hit 1,400 NHL games. This guy is aged like fine wine, dude. He's like a point per game player or more right now. And the Kings themselves are 8-2 in their last 10. They're 10-2-1 at home. Kemper's playing great. RIP, Avalanche. Should have kept them.
Mm-hmm.
Kemper's playing really well. Edmondson looks so good. He's like a +8. He's got like 15 points in 30 games or whatever it is. I saw the stat line. I'm just butchering it, I'm sure. But he looks so good.
I think he's almost a +14, actually.
Just unreal.
Which is like Blues. I find it very hard to believe you wouldn't do a reunion with that guy at this last free agency, and he would have come back. I have no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. He got paid, and he's playing well. Good for him, and good for Kopitar, man. Like he's stayed there his whole career. He's won his couple cups, and right now they're looking like they could make a little run in the playoffs with this old team. And Doughty's not even back. One of the best defensemen in the game's not even playing right now.
That is the wild part, is that they're only going to get better as they start getting players back healthy. And
and once Byfield starts kind of going, because he's kind of in a little slumpy sophomore thing. But once he gets going, I think the Kings might win the West. They might win the Pacific, I should say. Vegas is a tough test, though. Good for the Kings, good for Kopi.
Yeah, I think it's you can't find someone in the league that does not like Kopitar. I'm sorry. He goes about his business in such a professional manner that it's hard not to just love him.
Dude, I would trade for him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's one of those players where it's like, Crosby could be 45, and I'd be like, let's set him a first-round pick.
Yeah.
You know? So
he'll never leave Los Angeles. He'll get a statue out front.
Yes.
He will Banner go down as statue. One of the best players in LA Kings history.
One of the best European players, if not the best European player to ever play the game.
Yeah.
You know, behind Jager, I should say. But he's up there.
And Timo.
He's up there in the top three. Like, so good. All right. The Oilers are 8-2 in their last 10. Just want to shout them out. Good for them. Draisaitl, McDavid, Bouchard are back. Nurse is a +10. So haters, sorry for the haters. And Skinner's lighting it up. He's like crazy in the last 5 games. So good for them. People are thinking they're going back, which we'll see in the playoffs, man. It is what it is. Ovi back to practicing as well. They gave him some sort of Russian medicine and he's back. So
doesn't look like he missed a day. It's crazy.
Nope. He was out there with Backstrom that one day, like taking one tease with Backstrom. I'm like, why did Baxter retire? It's hurt too much. Anyways, good for Ovi. And I'll let you take this one because I don't really understand it. I don't think I don't even remember this happening. So
yeah, so the freeze hits December 20th. So there's like no roster movement, no trades that can be done for that period of time.
Okay, that makes sense.
Just to let people go back to their families and see family and kind of get situated here for a little bit. And then it'll pick back up after the holidays.
Yeah, so
if the Blues are looking to do some trades or some moves before the 20th, then we only got a couple days. We've got about 5 days to see if any teams are going to make any holiday moves.
All right. That sounds good.
Yeah, so just a little.
I mean, how long has that been a thing? I hope it's been a thing for long. Probably not as long as I think.
Yeah, I think it was part of the collective bargaining agreement after the lockout.
Yeah, the NHLPA was like, hey, dude, it's Christmas Day. You're calling me to trade me? Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Do you love skating but hate having to drive out of your way to have fun? Skate St. Louis can help. Skate St. Louis is a locally owned roller skating operation designed to bring unique activities directly to you. Created by co-owners Augustin Boydell and Brendan Religa, Skate St. Louis provides skates, safety, and entertainment equipment for all ages by turning parking lots, indoor facilities, parks, greenways, and more into amazing roller skating experiences. Go to www.skatestl.com. Email them at contact@skatestl.com or call/text them at 314-745-6096 for more details. Remember, support local St. Louis businesses, y'all.
Looking for a premium handcrafted leather goods that can last a lifetime? At Valent Leather Works, they specialize in custom designed leather products made of the finest materials with expert craftsmanship. From wallets to belts to bags to accessories, each piece is crafted with finite attention and detail built to stand the test of time. With a lifetime warranty, elevate your style with luxury that speaks for itself. Valent Leather. I personally have Valent Leather products, and I'm looking at getting another one here in the next couple of days. He's working on a wallet for me. Please go to his website. He is doing free custom engravings with each order. So just go to valentleather.com, valentleather.com, and place an order, guys. This is great quality products. John is a great guy, great customer service. He is a veteran, and we love our veteran-run companies, and he is in the healthcare world with me. So please support John and support local. He has great handcrafted items, guys, and I cannot say more about it.
All right. Back to Blues news. It's mostly going to be news and trade rumors and stuff on this podcast. Like the recent games, we'll just breeze through them. We kind of are where we are right now. We're kind of stagnant. So let's talk about some potential moves and how the injuries are flowing and we'll see. You can go first, bud.
All right. So Nick Leddy is still injured. He went on that Canadian road trip, was then sent home for further evaluation after flaring up that injury, which is still considered, I think, a lower body. I think it's either hip, groin, or he broke his foot and we didn't know. So we will see kind of what's going on with that. That being said, at this rate, I'm really wondering if we're going to see Nick Leddy at all this season. If you do the math, we got Cam Fowler, which we're going to talk about here in just a second, for about $4 million. If we place Nick Leddy on LTIR, that is $4 million. So they would basically, for those out there, girl math, free money. So that would just clear up that $4 million in cap space. The other guy that we're waiting on and we desperately need back, and if you don't appreciate him, you need to appreciate him now, Radek Foxa went out with that injury in Vancouver. It looks like he got cut in the groin. He did not play last night in Dallas in the return home to his former team, and it's looking like he may still miss the Rangers game, but we will see. Maybe a game time decision.
Yeah. We'll see with Fox. It's actually insane how important his face-offs are.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I mean, and then Nathan Walker filled in for him and won 6-9 last game. Foxa is truly a key player. He's like an Alex Steen, man. He feels like that fourth line player that we can't lose for an extended time, and he won't be out that long. Hopefully he's feeling all right. That was supposedly really close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we're glad he's okay.
Yeah. Thank goodness. I think this is the thing, and we've seen a couple he got cut. There was another player.
Nashville player, McCarron, maybe?
Yeah.
Cut in
the neck, and a neck guard wouldn't have even caught it because it was so high up. So this is a dangerous sport in ways, and, you know, no matter the equipment and everything, there's always still those fluke injuries that can happen.
Yeah.
All right. Brandon Saad. The saga is picking up here. Mike and I have talked about him not contributing. He was a healthy scratch against your Dallas Stars. A lot of rumors surrounding him right now. I know Elliot Friedman on the Saturday night, like, freeze frenzy or whatever he calls it.
Sportsnet, whatever.
Yeah.
He was talking about it.
Said the Blues would like to trade him. And there seems to be some rumors surrounding him around the league about him getting traded. It just is not clicking this year. And I hate to see it because you love Brandon Saad. I think he's a great American-born player, two-time cup winner. And I think to this point had really never had to be scratched in his career. So maybe it was just hit the reset button. Maybe we'll see him in the lineup. Lineups in a morning skate hasn't happened just yet that we've seen. So he's a perennial 20 to 25 goal scorer. So maybe he's just going to need a little change of scenery or maybe just that hard reset button.
Yeah, I think the way the team's going and how old he's getting, he's slowing down. I just don't think he realizes how important he is. I hope that, like, Montgomery and them can be like, hey, bud, like, we need you to be the guy. Like,
yeah,
we need you to be a part of the top six scoring crew. Start scoring. And I think maybe he kind of is ready to just be that third line vet guy. We'll see. He's from Pittsburgh. Come talk to us. We'd love like an O'Connor. We'd love an O'Connor, something like that. We'll see. And for reset, I mean, I still think he can get 20 goals.
For sure.
It's not hard for him to score two a game. I mean, he's done it so many times in the Blue Note that I can remember. We'll see what happens. I'm sad. You know I love him. I'm sad. Yeah. One of those former Blackhawks that you learn to love.
For sure.
So we'll see what happens. This was right after we traded for Cam Fowler. Mr. Matthew Kessel got sent down to the AHL Thunderbirds. He needs it. He's just not quite ready. He looked a little bit better the last couple of games, but he's still not ready, just in general. But we really need him for right-handed defensemen if we're not going to go out and get one, because we're getting a lot older on that side. And I think we're really trusting his development for sure.
Yeah.
He'll be a big contributor down there as he is. And he'll play heavy minutes down there.
He's going to go down there. He's going to play heavy minutes. And for those of you who are angry about this, so the Blues are in a weird spot right now. Matthew Kessel can clear waivers, doesn't have to go through waivers. He's almost about to the game minimum that he can play with having to clear waivers. The other thing is, I think if you put P.O., he's getting picked up on waivers. If you put Scott Perunovich, he's probably getting picked up on waivers, as much as we have talked about him and we're frustrated with him. He is still valuable to some teams. And you're not going to send Suter down. You're not going to, like, there's players that you were like, well, just get rid of it. It just isn't going to work that way. So Kessel goes down. He's going to get heavy minutes down there. Not to say he's not going to come back up if we make any other moves. But at this point, let him go play minutes, go play power play, go play penalty kill, be the leader down there, help Springfield really turn it around a little bit more. And then we will see what the future holds for this Blues team and future moves.
Yeah, I always liked Kessel. There's some moments where you're like, whoa, buddy, like, you're not ready. And he'll be ready when he comes back up, I think so.
For sure.
Because we'll need him. So
yeah.
So directly before that, we traded for Cam Fowler and a fourth round pick. We sent over a second rounder and then Biaka Batuka from the ECHL Everblades, the team we actually just became affiliated with like this year. He posted on his story, just tagged the Ducks. He seems like, oh yeah, we're going to go play some more minor league hockey. He wasn't really going to be anything here. So hopefully we'll see if he can be something over there. Good for him. Cam Fowler, rough start to the year. He got hurt, came back. He's been like minus two every other game. I just think the Ducks retool of trying to get these younger defensemen to play didn't involve Cam Fowler. They've been talking to each other for like a year now, he said, about moving him.
Yeah, in the summer, they were asking him where he would go.
Yeah, so, I mean, he had, what was it, a four-team trade list. So he had a list of four teams he would go to. The Blues weren't on that list, so he waived his entire clause to come to St. Louis.
Yep.
Pretty insane to think about. I love Cam Fowler. I've always loved Cam Fowler. I think we should have went after him a while ago, but the Ducks weren't ready, obviously. I think he's going to be a big part of, you know, trying to help Binner out. And honestly, they have been otherwise. They also needed to take some minutes away from Suter. This guy, he's just been, I mean, he's a workhorse. Props to him, but he can't be playing 22 minutes a night. He's got to play like 18. We'll see what happens tonight against the Rangers, the 15th of December, if you guys don't know. I mean, Fowler's been on the road for like 2 weeks. He's got a baby at home. His wife's pregnant still with another one. He probably wants to chill. Luckily, we're back home for a little, like almost the whole week before we go over to the East Coast, I think, or Florida. So we'll see. Maybe he can kind of settle things in a little bit the next few days. I'm extremely happy to have this guy. I think people are kind of overreacting to the age thing and the money thing. Honestly, it evens out.
It evens out. He's a good player. He eats minutes. And yeah, let's be honest, he was averaging 21 minutes a game in Anaheim this season. The year before that, he's looked like anywhere between 24 to 21. He played almost 18 minutes in his first game on short rest after flying from Columbus to Dallas and looked like he hadn't missed a beat.
Yeah, he looked really good.
He looked really good. And it's the simple plays. I think you and I were just backing up. He just makes the simple plays, the smart plays, does not put himself in bad situations, and he is going to be very important to this team. Great locker room guy, and has played, I believe, with Falk before in the USA. No, he's Canadian. I thought he had played with Falk before.
No, they mentioned he played with Shen.
Shen.
Or against him, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was World Juniors, and it was for the Memorial Cup.
Okay, that makes sense. I think he played against Shen.
Yeah, he was with Taylor Hall that year, and they beat Shen's team. Must be nice. But he will be great for this team, and I think a lot of people are like, we gave up a second-round pick. Yes, we don't have a second-round pick till 2028, but it's always a roll the dice on a player. And the pick that we gave up is a 2027 pick, which we're not going to see a player that we draft in 2027 until about 2030 or 2031. So the Blues are about to get a lot of young players in a very short period of time that we've drafted, developed, and draft picks. We can get them back if we need them. Saad can get you picks. We can sell off guys real quick if we want to get picks, like Armstrong said. But he's viewing we need players now, and he thought that this team was not going to be able to continue with these minutes, and I get it. I was worried about that. And Cam Fowler is just going to be a stud. Fans are going to love him. He's a class act, and he wanted to be here. Right there is all you need to know. If you are frustrated with everything else, forget it. Just focus on a player chose to come to St. Louis because he believed in the team, believed in the city, and he's like, I've heard the team's great. The locker room's great. Ownership's great. Management's great. Yes, that's a player talking. But he also, the biggest thing he said at the end was, my job is to play hockey. That right there is all you need to know. He came here and he said, my job is to play hockey. I am tired, sure, but I play hockey and it is my job to come here and perform. And I love that energy in this locker room.
We need more of it. I feel like it's kind of gone the wayside. Mm-hmm. So I think we've brought in enough guys in the locker room that'll keep saying that type of stuff around each other, and it's going to change the mentality even more than it has.
Yep.
Just don't get discouraged. We're not far out of this thing. You know, it's feeling like it. You know, when you see a Utah above you, you're like, crap, man. Like, are we really that bad?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the New Year's. You never know. We're still not as far out as we were in 2018-19, man. Like, that was just not even normal. That's, you never see it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We're still in it, boys and girls. Yeah. Oh, and one more thing that we didn't really mention this. Ducks retained just under 40%. So, right, like you said, it mirrors the Leddy contract, so evens out. And then if he does play every game up until New Year's Eve, his 1,000th game in the league is the Winter Classic.
Which is awesome.
Which would be nuts. And I don't think he's going to stop playing.
Nope. Just
the person he is. We'll see. I'm happy for this guy. He was a guy like 5 years ago I wanted. We'll see how he does.
We're getting all the guys that you and I have talked about for years that we would have loved on our team in their prime. Like Cam Fowler, would have loved him. Suter, would have loved him. We're getting all these guys finally. We're like, hey, we would have taken you about 5 years ago and probably would have won a couple cups. But we'll take you now and we'll be happy about it.
So I felt about Saad.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, Saad's in Columbus. He's in Colorado. He's lining us up against us on Colorado. He was like their best player against us in that series. And then he finally comes here. I'm like, yes, finally. Let's run through the past three games really fast. Yep. And then we'll get into the playoff picture.
All right.
Let's see.
So we played Vancouver. Big win. Big win.
Huge win.
Overtime win against Vancouver. Score 4-3. Goals from Holloway, Thomas. And just fantastic game. Like, I think it was some of their best games, in my opinion.
Yeah, Holloway's just the whole road trip. He was the guy, and before that, when Monty took over, he's the guy. And these next two games we're going to mention, he was the guy. He's just constantly moving, constantly making plays himself. Thomas started a little point streak. As of yesterday against Dallas, he's on 6 games. So good for him. He's kind of figuring it out again. He still makes some questionable passes. Just like he's got to mature about the little backhand no lookers, personally, in my opinion.
Yep.
Other than that, we were up big, gave up the lead, came back and won an OT on a Holloway beauty. So let's go Blues. And then we came home and we played the dreaded San Jose Sharks. It's just like the dreaded Arizona Coyotes back in the day. We lose 4-3. We had zero offensive pressure. Until it was too little too late. They played Georgiev in this game, okay? And we have talked about how bad he is. And he is awful, dude. Like, he's playing on a worse team. He's swimming everywhere on every play. We were there watching the game. He looks bad. Let's shoot the puck 40 times and we'll score 4 times or more. Nope. We only shot the puck like 20 times and we still scored 3 goals. It's mind-boggling. He's just one of those goalies that you need to pepper and he'll make a mistake.
Yeah.
He made only 17 saves and won the game.
Like, he's like a fish out of water. His positioning he looks
brutal, dude. Like,
oh my God.
I can't say it enough. Swimming everywhere on simple cross crease plays. We just think he's not strong on the push off and stuff like that. So,
and like you said,
goals are easy on him.
Like he wants, it's almost like he wants to make this miraculous save every single time. It was Mike in the middle of the game. He's like, why doesn't he just make the easy save? It's like he wants to dive and make the Marty Brodeur style save. It's painful to watch, and you understand why. Colorado's like, yeah, sorry, we're done. This isn't going to work. And San Jose's like, sure, we'll take him. And of course, he finds a way to win.
Against us.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the team played so bad. It really stinks.
Very physical game. It was one of the most physical games I think I've seen the Blues in this year, and not used to seeing physical side from a San Jose Sharks team, but this new era in the San Jose seems to be a physical ground and pound, just throw your body around kind of team.
Well, they were coming into the game very, very hyped up. We were beat up. Just even Monty said it that we might not have our legs, which is like, what are you talking about? Like, we're professional sports players, professional athletes. We don't have our legs as a team. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. You know, the usual suspects looked good. Holloway.
Yep.
Thomas.
I think
Binnington was a little off. There were goals. The two goals where we're like, dude, oh, like, that stinks. Needed you to save us as he always does, and he just didn't.
The two big things, though, we do have to say. Odd man breaks, we can't keep doing. And I think that's why it led to a Cam Fowler trade. Second thing that we have talked about that whole game, Macklin Celebrini is a stud. And I think we have to say it now. Macklin Celebrini, in my opinion, at this point in his career, is substantially better than Connor Bedard was. And I think he will be a better long-term player than Connor Bedard. I'm saying it right now. The way he moves, the way he sees the ice, if he can stay healthy, I think Macklin Celebrini will be a household name by the end of his time in the NHL.
I mean, he already is.
Yeah.
He's one of the more popular players in the league right now. When you watch him live, we've seen it twice now. It is like watching just one of the most skilled players, almost like a McDavid, dude. I don't want to compare him to McDavid, but he's always making plays happen. His skating is elite. His passing is elite. And his wrister is elite. We saw it. So, really, I mean, I can't even be mad watching him. It's honestly amazing to see in person. We tweeted that out.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can see him for years to come and again and again and again, because it's a treat. All right, let's go into the next game. Another loss, OT in Dallas, 2-1. We only had 16 shots on net. So we went from 25 shots at Vancouver, barely squeaked away, 20 shots against a crappy goalie, barely lost. And then we go down to 16 against Dallas, and we barely lost this game somehow. Well, Bennington. Zero offense after the first period. We were 38% on faceoffs. That's awful. Like, really bad. I would say Fowler looked good. He made a couple really good plays.
Yeah.
Holloway looked great again. And then Binnington was just vintage. Yeah, he looked really good. Thomas continued his point streak to 6 games. Other than that, it was just kind of floaty hockey. Dallas should have scored 7 times. Binnington was amazing. We had zero offense. Yeah, and Lou Korak, he tweeted out, he goes, I mean, the faceoffs in the second and third period were some of the worst in the past few years for the Blues.
Yeah.
Walker was 6-for-9. If you take his faceoffs away, you're literally at 30% for the game. That is so awful. And when you're losing that many faceoffs, you're playing catch up instantly on the ice. It doesn't matter about the score. You're playing catch up on the ice. You're losing momentum. You're losing possession in either zone. There it is. They had almost 40 shots. They almost tripled our shots. And we still made it to OT and got a point.
Which we did not deserve. We didn't deserve.
No. Should have lost 5-1, man. I don't really have anything else to say. I'd say Dallas is, you said it actually, Dallas is pretty easy to play against. Our defense was, I would say, pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And our goaltending was amazing, but they don't seem to have like a crazy star power player, you know, because Robertson isn't even lighting it up that much this year. He did have a power play goal against us, which was really nice. But without like a Sagan in there, because he's hurt for long term, and they don't have
Duchene.
Duchene is their superstar right now.
Yeah.
Which he's been really good. But they don't have, they're kind of like us in a way, but they're just, they still have.
They roll 4 lines.
They roll 4 lines still.
They have great D group and a stud of a goalie. Like, and they're built from top to bottom. Great. They're built for playoffs. They will be good. They will. Yeah. They're fine. I think they're on a little bit of a struggle bus right now. But that being said, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be hard to play in the playoffs. And Dallas has just built a team and they're getting young players that are contributing offensively. So that being said, move on. We got a point. We needed four in these last two games to really jump ourselves up into a good spot. But Rangers today, and it's going to have to be a big game for us.
Yeah, Rangers today. I don't think we should accept anything but a dominant win.
Yeah.
We need it for the morale. We need it for the standings. We're 2 points behind Utah. We're 5 points behind the Avalanche and the Stars. 4 points behind Vancouver in the second wild card. So I think it's time to step up and win games against teams that are struggling.
You have to have a good end to your December if you want any shot about making the playoffs.
Well, I want to go into the Winter Classic with like a win streak, man. I want to go in there and dominate the Blackhawks in Wrigley, like we did against Minnesota in 2021?
Yeah.
We went in there and blew them away in -3 degree weather. So let's do that again. All right, let's go to the entire league here. We're just going to quickly run through the current matchups that are going to go through. Maybe we'll talk about who we think is going to win. I mean, this is very unscripted. We're just going to chat for a little bit. We'll start with the current playoff picture in the East. You have the Maple Leafs leading the Atlantic. They took over the Panthers. They're up by a point or two on them, and they're currently matched up with the Ottawa Senators in the second wildcard spot. I'm so happy for them.
Toronto wins in five.
I think Toronto destroys them.
Yeah.
The only way Ottawa has a chance to make this go seven,
Allmark
has to be perfect.
Yep.
And that's usually how it is in a lot of these playoff series. The goaltender has to be good. And Stolarz is hurt right now. Is Wohl going to stay healthy? We'll see with the Maple Leafs. They might slip down and have to play the Bruins again, which I think they can beat the Bruins this year. But we'll see. This is the current matchup. The Senators, they need perfection. Brady Tkachuk in the playoffs, please, please, please. Just asking as a fan. He needs to play playoff hockey. This kid is built for it, just like his brother and his dad. I'll say Maple Leafs in six. I'll just give him an extra game. Panthers, Bruins, the bitter rivalry that formed a couple years ago. This one's a bloodbath if it stays true. What do you think of this?
Panthers and I'd probably say six.
Yeah. I think I say Panthers and 6-2. There's no way Boston doesn't steal a couple.
Yeah. But I think the biggest thing is I don't truly know if Boston will still be in a playoff spot by the end of the year.
That's where my head's at. I think they maybe are in wild card two. And then if all is true with the Maple Leafs, they play the Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. or they have to go into Washington and play the Capitals if they're wild card one, which Boston. You're barely hanging on. You're in the same exact spot you were before you fired Monty. So that's the answer there with the firing. Doesn't make any sense. Start talking to your upper management, man. They're doing weird things. They are firing coaches way too soon. And even the players said Monty's a great coach. They weren't playing well. And that's what it is. It is what it is. So we'll see. Panthers in six. Next one, we have the Metro 2 team, which is the Devils, versus the Metro 3 teams, the Hurricanes. Now, I obviously, at the first episode of this entire podcast, I said Devils are going to the Stanley Cup. So I am going to say Devils in seven. They're playing pretty good right now. Jake Allen's hurt. That's okay. Markstrom's playing well. Jack Hughes is unreal. And Jesper Bratt is unreal. He's one of the most underrated players in the league. I don't even think JT Miller's as underrated as this guy.
Yeah.
No one talks about Jesper Bratt. He is unbelievable. And I think the Devils can steal this from the Hurricanes in seven, knock them out first round. I feel bad for the Hurricanes because they are a cup contending team. They're really, really good. One of the most consistent teams in the league the past like 10 years. Their goaltending is kind of spotty. but that's really the only thing that's been spotty for them ever. Yeah. So what do you think? I know you love the Hurricanes.
Yeah,
so.
You know who I'm voting for here. It's Hurricanes in seven. And the Devils are very good. And the Devils probably do win this, but I really want my boy Seth Jarvis and Slavin to just go on a run and win a cup. So that being said, you can't bet against Brett Burns. So we will see. The question mark, like you said, is goaltending. Can they stay healthy on the back end? And I do wonder if they add a goalie at the deadline. Maybe a Jonathan Quick, who is with the Rangers, who could add some stability on the back end. He doesn't have to be lights out, but can help take the pressure off a little bit. So we'll see. Or a Jonathan Gibson. I don't know. I think you add a contender goalie, this team flips their chances even more, and they are making a run.
Yeah, they just, it's the one thing they really haven't had. You know, Anderson's great. He's just hurt all the time. Yeah. Anderson is so good. I really do love the Jonathan Quick idea. Yeah. I think he's been really good this year, even though the Rangers haven't. He's a sneaky good pickup. He's like a Fleury pickup. The Wild aren't getting rid of Fleury, though. He's staying, and he is going to contend for a Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah.
Okay, Metro won. The second best team in the East right now, the Washington Capitals, man, they are unreal. Right now they're matched up with the Tampa Bay Lightning, though, and I don't know if I can bet against that. I really don't. Everyone thought losing Stamkos and bringing in Gensel was a bad idea. I think I said that. I think we both said that, where we were like, what are you doing? It's your franchise player. Yeah. But now look at Gensel, and now look at the Lightning. And look at the Predators. This team is constantly built to win. They're run by one of the best coaches in the league, one of the best GMs in the league. Hedman.
Yeah.
McDonough.
They find another level every year in the playoffs.
Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you look at the Capitals. Now, we thought this was just going to be the Ovi show. It is Tom Wilson. It is Stromer. It is McMichael. Even PLD is getting involved in the score sheet. And their defense, you know, we talked about it. They picked up some really solid D. We didn't think that they were going to be this solid. They look really good, too, with the Chickens. Yeah. And they're two right-handed goalies. Killing it. Lindgren and Thompson. And Thompson got snubbed, I think, of a Canadian spot. Or American? Is he American or Canadian? Either way.
That's going to throw me off now.
I think he got snubbed for a Four Nations roster pick. I am going to say Lightning in seven. I just think the Capitals are so... They're physical, man, but I just can't bet against Vasilevsky stealing this series.
Yeah.
And Kucherov. We didn't even mention Kucherov. So
I was going to say, I think Kucherov finds a whole other level. And apparently when playoff starts, he just becomes even more of a powerhouse goal scorer. So I think you're probably right. Lightning in seven.
Yeah. Let's talk about who's on the bubble, so maybe some other matchups. The Flyers are currently tied with the Senators in points, but they lose the win or the percentage battle or whatever it is. If they were in there, they would have to play the Maple Leafs. If they are in there, I don't think that changes the Maple Leafs' chances, obviously. Islanders, Rangers, Penguins, all at 31 points. You're 3 points out of a spot. The Islanders aren't making it.
The Rangers aren't making it.
The OT merchants aren't going to make it this year. Please, God, no. It's a free win for whoever's first in the East. The Penguins, I don't want to count them out because it's Sidney Crosby, and I really want him to play playoff hockey. And honestly, Jari's been okay lately.
Yep.
But do you trust the Senators to keep winning? Probably not. It's up to Ullmark, really. I don't know. The Rangers are probably your best chance out of these teams to sneak in.
I don't know. If they sell off everyone like they're talking,
True. It's up to them. Like, if they do, they really want to retool this and give up their chances to fight. I don't know. I'm proud to say that that the Senators are there and I want them to stay there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might be a first round bounce, but it's been a while and they need to be back in it. Same with like Detroit, but they're too far down right now. I think I don't even have them on the bubble list. I have the Blue Jackets on the bubble list at 29 points. They're in our spot. They're 5 points out, or sorry. Well, they're 5 points out of a wild card spot. A little bit more than the Blues. It's just one of those seasons where it could be a Cinderella fairy tale story, but probably not. They're just not as good as the two or three teams above them.
Yeah.
But I would say if any of those teams do sneak in, things kind of change. You know, you could see Panthers slide into one. Maple Leafs will probably fall to two. That's probably a guarantee in the Atlantic at the three spot. I'd hate to say the Bruins are probably there too. I can't really see anybody else that takes that over. Maybe Lightning. Even then, the Bruins will probably make the playoffs.
Yeah, so. The bottom ends of the Eastern Conference are bad.
Bad.
It's just hard for me to believe that they have shots of really. It'll be the same group of teams, excuse me, that are every year. There's not much.
We said
change.
That before we started the podcast. It's the same effing teams. and unfortunately, you can't count out the Lightning, and that's or the Panthers, obviously. Yeah. Now, who do you think is going to come out of the East entirely? We did kind of talk about this, but maybe your mind has changed with who we see here. What do you think?
I mean, I have like three teams here. So I think the Panthers, they're built to go all the way again.
Yeah.
The Devils, if they get healthy and they stay healthy, they're real big contenders. And then because I love the Hurricanes, I got to throw them in there.
Okay.
I don't think the Leafs are able to come. They'll make it past where they've gone. I could see them in a conference final, but they fall short.
Okay.
So I think you're going to probably see the Panthers or Devils in the final.
Yeah. I'll say Panthers, Devils, Caps.
Yeah.
I think it might be one of those years for the Capitals. We'll see. But I think the Panthers had the best chance with Devils close by.
Yeah.
That would be really cool to see someone different. So that's why I'm kind of rooting for the Devils. But we'll see. They're fun to watch too.
Yep.
All right, let's go into the West. We'll start on the Pacific side. Let's go with Pacific 1, the Golden Knights. Right now they're paired up with the Wild Card 1, which is the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche are actually tied with Dallas for third in the Central, but the win percentage is obviously in Dallas's favor. I personally, no matter what, this is going seven games, and the Knights are pulling it out.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you 100%. Knights win that.
Knights pull out in seven. The Avalanche, dude, their goaltending isn't it.
No.
Still. It's still not going to get them through. The Golden Knights, man.
This isn't a team you can outscore because the Knights have the defense that'll stop the offensive powers of
Colorado.
They're unreal. I think we're being generous saying it's seven. I think it could be five. Vegas is hard to play in.
Yeah.
So
is Colorado.
Colorado is hard. That's true. But I think the Knights are just an overall better team.
Yeah, we talked about it before the podcast. I think they're the best team in the West. And when we were doing predictions, I had them possibly missing.
Yeah.
they came out and shoved that right in my... So, good for them. I think they win the West, personally. I think their defense is so good. And if they can even go out and pick somebody up, because why
they will.
Not?
They will. Someone will be on the LTIR, like always. They'll come back for the playoffs. Mark Stone, you're probably going to end up with a bruised kneecap, and somehow it'll be an LTIR. And then they'll add two players, and then look at this. Now we have a powerhouse team. But
yeah, I mean, Maybe Luke Shen's an option for them.
Oh, no. I don't want it. Don't do that to me.
Maybe Keandre Miller.
Oh, you know, stop it. Don't we'll do speak. These.
I mean, at this point, I'm kind of just laughing with Vegas about how funny their team is. So good for them. All right, let's go Kings, Oilers. This is the matchup every year, man.
Yep.
Oilers are on a heater. Kings are on a heater. It's a pretty evenly matched series. It's McDavid versus defense. It's going seven.
Yep.
It's so 50-50 for me.
Oilers win it.
You think so?
Yeah. I can tell you why. If
Doughty comes back and he lays a big hit on somebody that maybe injures them, they have a chance.
But let's be honest.
The speed of McDavid and
Oilers. They have Kasperi Kapanen, man. They can win a cup with that guy. Now, honestly, you can't bet against Draisaitl and McDavid.
No.
Like, you just can't.
Not in the first series.
And now that Darnell Nurse is really playing his best game again, that right there with Evan Bouchard, Darnell Nurse, you're good. You're going to make
home.
It
past. At home, bro.
At home, too.
Nashville, I think that was the dumbest thing Nashville's ever done. Is get
McDonough,
is let him go away. McDonough and Ekholm. Those guys are Stanley Cup defensemen.
Yes.
100%. Oilers in seven. I'll agree. All right. Wild are officially in the C2 spot now and against the Stars in the C3 spot. This is a brutal matchup, I think, for the Wild. They're kind of, if they can't win the Central, man, and possibly play the wild card 2 or 1, which you hope it's not the Avalanche, they're probably getting bounced in the first no matter what, personally. The Stars are a Stanley Cup team. The Wild are a Stanley Cup team. Now, the question is, are the Stars too heavy of a team for them?
I don't think so.
Do you have a record of how they've played against each other so far this year?
I don't have that off the top of my... I don't have that one.
Let me see if I can find it while we're talking.
I mean,
Kaprizov is going to make this a crazy series.
Yes. But the defense for Minnesota has only gotten better.
Yeah, I think it's an underappreciated thing for them.
Yeah. You got you picked up players that are going to only make you better. Like,
they have a Brodin, a Faber, a Middleton, a Spurgeon, and a Bogosian, which is really solid.
Yeah.
They also have one of the best goalie tandems in the league, low-key, with Gustafsson and Fleury.
Gustafsson is underappreciated, man.
He's been
maybe
so
because
good.
He's just played lights out against the Blues, but like, he's the real deal.
He's been so good.
So good.
I don't know. I think it goes seven. I think I want to pick the Stars. Because I have them winning the cup, and I can't really break my promise until things change. So I'll say the Stars in seven. It would be hilarious to see Minnesota lose in the first round again.
Yeah.
Right now, Dallas is 1-0 in the series with a 2-1 win over Minnesota in Minnesota. So it was a close game.
Also, they have David Yurchich.
Oh, yeah.
They picked him up,
Yurchich.
Too.
Or your check, whatever his name is.
Which it doesn't look like he played for them yet.
Weird. I noticed that. So I don't know. Dallas is one of the most structurally sound teams in the league. We'll see what happens. If they can contain Kaprizov, I think they win in seven. Okay, we have Jets, best team in the West right now, going up against the Vancouver Canucks, who are in the wild card spot.
Yeah.
Two wild card spot at 35 points. This is going to be a good series. I think the Canucks, being the team they are, I think they might push this to 6 or 7 as well. Now the Jets are kind of playing normal again after going on their crazy run. I like the Jets winning in seven, though. I think Hellebuck finally has enough support where he isn't going to have to win every game for them and be gassed.
Yeah.
And I think the Canucks goaltending situation is so up in the air. I feel like they've played four goalies this year. Dempo coming back is going to take Lankinen's time away. We'll see. Jets.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Jets. And I think we're going to see if Vancouver makes some decision on some trade candidates too, with the talks about Brock Besser and JT Miller and their futures.
Yep.
But I think the Jets win the first round. Will they have enough in the tank to go all the way in the playoffs? I think it's hard to find out when you're playing your goalie yet again almost every game. But that being said, I think the Jets win in, I don't know, six, I think, okay, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just better. Yep. Let's go to the bubble teams. Where the Blues are on the list. We're kind of down the list now. Flames are tied with the Canucks with 35 points. The Utah Hockey Club at 33 points. Kraken at 32. Blues at 31. And then there's Sharks or Duck. Sharks and Ducks are at 27, 26. I just have them on the list, cuz. The Blues are kind of at the bottom of the threshold, man. If we want to make it, you got to win. You got to go on streaks. You can't lose in overtime. It seems like the Utes are on a run. It seems like the Kraken are kind of finding their game sometimes. Like, then the Flames are sticking around. Now, the Canucks and the Avalanche are such great teams that those are the teams that need to lose. Like, if you want to come back and start winning, they need to start losing. And I think the team that has the most chance of doing that is probably the Avalanche, strictly because they're goaltending. I don't know. I you got to win in New York tonight to tie the Utah Hockey Club, gets you within those 2 points again. You got to go on a run against really good teams coming up. Like, we have the Devils and the Lightning this week as well, which is ridiculous. I feel like we've played against them every game. We'll see. Does Doug Armstrong make more moves to make this team better to get us into a playoff spot? That is kind of what the topic of conversation is before we end this thing. You have to.
Yep.
You have to. Saad was a healthy scratch. Get him out of here. I love him, but get him out of here. We need a center. And then we need a right-handed defenseman still.
Which will be hard to find.
It's so hard to find right now. I think that's why we have who we have back there right now, just to fill the void and eat minutes. I'm not even worried about the defense, though. I'm more worried about us getting chances in the offensive zone by winning faceoffs and making smart passing plays. Now, Montgomery has made things a little bit better. The past three games have not been great with offensive zone pressure or anything. The play is to get a third line center.
Who that is, there's a lot of.
There's so many of them.
Yeah.
Don't play Sundqvist anymore. Yeah. That's what I think. Like, and don't play Texier either.
No.
He gets packaged up in a deal, and we bring in a third line center. And when Fox is back, you can move Joseph up to the third line, play him with the new center with Bull Duke or whatever we need to do. But we need to start winning 50% of our faceoffs in games that need to be won. We only lost by one in the past two games, and we didn't win enough faceoffs. So that's kind of where the only thing we're lacking, personally, in my opinion. That's it.
Yeah. I think there's two ways of approach. Do you add a center that adds grittiness, or do you add a center that adds scoring?
Right.
Option-wise, I think Trent Frederick is the guy that I think the Blues want.
I think he's probably the easiest to get.
Yeah. Yes. And I think if you're getting him, there has to be an extension in place. That's the only way I think they trade for him, because he's not a rental. If you're going rental, you have to look at the older market, which then you're talking about guys out of Buffalo, guys out of Detroit, guys out of Columbus. But they know they have the power, and the price will probably be high. So this Blues team has to really make a big decision Also, if you're looking at some other centers like Kozar from Buffalo.
Dylan Cousins.
He's making $7 million.
It's wild.
So, yes, we have money right now, but we cannot handcuff ourselves when we're trying to re-sign the Brobergs, the Holloways, the young talent. So, I don't know. You have Morgan Geeky may be out there. I don't know. I'm interested. Like, I wish like Adam Henrique wasn't on like a Edmonton Oilers because he would be a great sign for the Blues. I don't know if Nashville is going to really want to trade within the division either. So, you're calling Anaheim again. You're calling Pittsburgh. Like, I don't know what the plan is. I think there could be deals with Buffalo for some other guys that they have. But the price is going to be high and you don't have many draft picks. And are you willing to give away your first round pick to get another player? I find that very hard to believe. I think you know reinforcements are coming with the Jimmy Snuggaroo, but also his Minnesota team is going to make a far run in the Frozen Four. That's going to be here in St. Louis. So I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of potential. I think Boston potentially could be open for business, but we've also seen they've had a locker room issue. So do you want to add from a team that there's a known locker room issue that just can't get it together?
I think Trent Frederick is a great option. I just think it might be a little expensive, but we'll see.
Or do you say, let's play Dvorsky?
See, I think that right there is the option Armstrong's really leaning towards because it doesn't cost him anything.
Yeah.
And he can win faceoffs and score.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just not gritty. Now, if you put him out there with Bull Duke and Joseph, he doesn't have to be. Or whoever's out there. You know what I mean? So it's going to be really interesting. I think Saad's gone. I think you have to try and get an even player that is willing to grind it out for him.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if we are going to bring up Dvorsky, we need him to have a scorer outside of Bull Duke on the line with him. So, and Saad could be that guy if he just woke up, but he doesn't want to. At least we don't think so right now. We'll see. I don't know. The team is not winning enough games. They could. They're not producing enough just in general in the offensive zone. Our defense looks good. Bennington looks good. Hofer looks good. Montgomery, I'm happy he's here. Still a chance. We're still in the same spot we were before he got hired. But we've been playing better overall just by the eye test.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I would love to be in a second wild card and play the Jets or the Wild.
I'd take the Jets over the Wild, in my opinion. I think we could play with the Jets in seven.
I think so too. I think there's something about that team that still has a little bit of a weak spot to the Blues.
They've had our number, but I find it very hard to believe we could not find a way to do it against them. Because we've played with them, but this year this team just seems different to me. So
I don't know. We've done it to them before. It's just about getting better as a team. And, you know, there's still a lot of new faces. We've mentioned this before, so. But it's time to lock it in, for sure. It's 30 games in. Let's lock it in. We're almost halfway through. Let's go.
Yeah. All right, folks. Tell us what you think. We'd love to hear from you guys. What do you think some trade predictions are? What do you think the playoffs are going to look like? We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you guys email us. We can answer questions on here. But as always, thank you so much for listening to us. And Mike, I love doing this with you, buddy.
Yeah. Love you, bud. Thanks for chatting it up. We kind of rambled today, but... It's kind of all it's what it's all about doing this thing. We will be hopefully featured in a Vianney High School, the E. Griffin newsletter soon. So that's cool. That is where we graduated from high school. So check that out if you're a grad or if you're subscribed to it. I don't know if they send it out to non-Vianney people. We're still in talks with a couple people about advertising. We haven't heard back from one, but hopefully we will soon. And then what else? Yeah, Blues game tonight, Sunday. We'll be tweeting about it, I'm sure. We play Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah, I'll be at the game on Tuesday. It's the bobblehead giveaway night.
Yep.
Versus the Devils.
Yeah.
So, going to be a big game.
These games are so big. We're playing against such great teams. We got to pull it out.
This is if you want to be a playoff team, these are the games you have to win.
Yeah.
Rise up to your competition, play with them. And I think Jimmy will have them going tonight against the Rangers. And I think we have to be ready to go against the Devils. We have to get these points. These are must-win games at this point in the season.
Yep. All right. We'll talk to you guys next time. Make sure you check out all of our content. Follow us everywhere. We appreciate you for all the support. And I'll talk to you next week, Josh.
All righty, buddy. Go Blues. Go Blues.